Hi, this is Suzanne with the Mad Scientist Exposed. Hi, this is Suzanne with Mad Scientist Exposed, and there's a lot of hot topics in the news, so I thought I'd start with the Zika. I know I've commented before on my site. Let me put up the so you can follow along. Yeah. I have some opinions on the Zika thing. You know, there's other opinions that have come out since mine, and a lot of them are coming to the conclusion that there's something not quite right about all this hype and everything about Zika. My observations were, and this came out pretty early on when the baby started being born with microcephaly in Brazil, that they seem to be timed just about the right time after they started really coercing pregnant women in Brazil to take the DTaP vaccine. The timing was pretty suspicious, and since the DTaP vaccine in the public and in the package insert talks about fevers and encephalopathy, the swelling of the brain and brain damage, all this. And this is normally in vaccines are given to babies after they're born, but what does it do to babies much younger in the womb as their brains are forming? You know, all the toxins, the metals, and the viral debris and all the other things tend to conglomerate or just move to the brain. There's a lot of fat. You know, your brain is made out of fat, and that kind of attracts the metallics that settle in there and do the damage. And, that package insert for that even mentions autism and mentions SIDS. And, I've seen so much of that now that I've reached a conclusion that at least as far as my observations are, I believe that the main cause of SIDS is vaccines, and DTaP seems to be a particularly horrendous one. But, it just seems like there's something not really right, and, there's several articles, and I was particularly shocked. I like to watch sometimes the Richie Allen show, which it's on YouTube. He's got radio and TV, and sometimes he just puts in comments, short form comments that he puts in. But he has on these guests, and Richie Allen is kind of like the overseas, the European, UK, Irish version of Alex Jones. He's, got all the conspiracies behind there. He's against global government. He's got a couple of quirky political positions that I think don't serve him well. Sometimes he can be a little more, what's the word? Sometimes he has an attitude, sometimes he doesn't, and if you're sensitive to foul language, don't watch his show. But he had on an interview with an American blogger, journalist named John Rappaport, and John Rappaport sees a pattern in all these big disease scares that come up every couple of years somewhere in the world and with the risk of spreading. And he gave a particularly interesting account on what he observed on the SARS outbreak in 2002, I believe it was, maybe 2003. SARS, he said, it had all the same symptoms as the flu, so it couldn't really be distinguished from the flu. And, everybody was all upset about it, and they were trying to promote a vaccine for it and all this. And he said what happened was the World Health Organization, which not necessarily the most honest bunch of people, decided they were just testing their powers just to see, how much control they could take, and just testing it out on a short-term basis, I don't know, a few months or whatever that SARS thing lasted. And they decided that Toronto would be their designated centerpiece of the SARS scare. And so they said, there's this horrible deadly disease, SARS, that coming out of Toronto, it has all the same symptoms as the flu, so if you get the flu, you'll get checked out by your doctor. And as far as John Rappaport could find, there were no actual deaths from SARS. It was all about seeing, it was kind of like a shakedown operation, and seeing how much financial damage they could do to a city, by clobbering the tourism at that time of year, and to see how much cooperation they could get from the local authorities when there wasn't really that much of it was just a regular flu that year. And it was just, it gives a very interesting he gives a very interesting take on it. So I've linked to his site from a page on madscientist.expose website, and there are some other interesting links. And he points out, you know, in some of his blog articles, his website is nomorefakenews.com, and he links off to his blog and all that. But he has a very good article, Message to Purveyors of Medical Fraud, and he wrote that this month. And he talks about the false linking of Zika with the microcephaly. He says the Zika microcephaly connection is scientific nonsense. He says, let me run it down for you. My analysis is beyond but expert A says. I am not dealing in appealing to authority, but instead the standards of evidence anyone can see if one opens his eyes. First of all, the latest figures out of Brazil, the so-called epicenter of the microcephaly tragedy, reveal the following. 854 confirmed cases of microcephaly, and of those, only 97 cases show the presence of the Zika virus. Inference, Zika is not the cause of microcephaly. If it were, researchers would be able to detect it in all or the overwhelming percentage of microcephaly cases. He says, I'm not making this up. There are standards of proof and evidence. They dictate which inferences are possible and which are not. 97 out of 854 is a dud. Back to the drawing board. 757 microcephaly cases show no trace of Zika. But expert A says, he says, who cares what he says? He's either right or wrong, independent of his presumed status as an expert. And here, he would be wrong. But the Washington Post and the New York Times and the CDC and the World Health Organization say it doesn't matter. And he links to two recent studies, and one is at the CDC, which I've also linked to. He says, two recent studies, if you want to call them that, have tried to make the case that Zika is the cause of microcephaly. Well, they were published because media outlets could then run headlines announcing Zika shown to be the cause, doubts about Zika erased. That's all these studies were good for. But the first study examined several groups of baby, and in each group they found a very weak correlation between microcephaly and the presence of Zika. But they tried to pull a fast one and say that the very weak correlation in several groups somehow added up to a much stronger correlation overall. Absolute gibberish. Week plus week plus week equals week. Actually, week times week times week is much weaker, if you want to get mathematical about it. But, yeah, it's quite an interesting link on the CDC there. Let me pull that one up for you. It's right over here. I always have too many tabs open because this is just such fascinating stuff. So here's the link. Okay, this is the CDC.gov website itself. The headline is, CDC concludes Zika causes microcephaly and other birth defects. And other birth defects, I don't know. Anyway, if you go down a couple paragraphs, it's under the background. It says, the report notes that no single piece of evidence provides conclusive proof that Zika virus infection is a cause of microcephaly and other fetal brain defects. Rather, increasing evidence from a number of recently published studies and a careful evaluation using established scientific criteria supports the author's conclusion. So what the author is saying here, he couldn't find any evidence, but since these other people are saying they think they found evidence, he's just going to say, well, I'll just go with them because they outnumber me. Well, you know what? At one time, Galileo was the only guy saying that the sun went around. I mean, the Earth went around the sun rather than otherwise. So it's pretty amazing that somebody would want to stand up for what he observes and say, "Well, I'll defer to these other people." So over at InfoWars, he's been covering it quite a while, the Alex Jones show, and Alex Jones was the first one so many years ago, and it was during. It was after SARS. It was during the H1N1, I believe, the bird flu, that I heard him interviewed on a radio show. And he was talking about vaccine fraud and how they were intentionally spreading disease that way and how they had sent a bunch of H1N1 vaccines over to Finland. And they had tested them on a flock of birds there and killed every single one of them. I was stunned at the time. It never occurred to me the depth of pure evil that is walking around in the vaccine industry. And I couldn't figure out why. Why would they intentionally make people sick? And you know, it's been something I've been wondering about a long time. And the more I read in the vaccine resistance anti-vax groups on Facebook, and one of the first ones I think was the vaccine resistance movement.org, and he's got quite a bunch of articles there too. And he's got some articles there that it's actually not what I thought the DTaP vaccine or the Zika itself. I believe what he's got over there is that it's the insecticide that they spray on the mosquitoes over there. I've got a link to that too. So if you care to call and join the conversation, the phone number is, and I'm going to close some of these tabs while I run a couple of promo codes here. But the phone number here is 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. If you just want to listen to the show that way while you're, you know, driving around doing your business, that's, you know, you can do that. Or if you want to join the conversation, press 1, and I'll see the little, I'll separate this tab from all my others, and I'll see the little mark come up that you'd like to join the conversation. So, I'll be back in a moment.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
So it seems even the NPR radio did a story in February. Did a pesticide cause microcephaly in Brazil? Unlikely, say experts, and they've got a big long article on that. Now, I don't know really which is whether this is cover up for the mainstream story or not. One thing I would avoid doing if they come out with a vaccine, and if I were pregnant, I would refuse the vaccine, because we know vaccines cause harm to unborn children. We know they cause harm to born children. But in particular, I know they push the flu vaccine very heavily on pregnant women, and now they're pushing the DTaP vaccine. And the statistics I've seen, the flu vaccine increases the miscarriage rate quite a significant amount. So there's no way in heck I would take a Zika vaccine either and possibly expose myself to that disease where I wasn't exposed before. And even if there's mosquitoes or whatever. I mean, certainly I would try to avoid mosquitoes if I were pregnant. But anyway, the NPR says the report last week has raised questions about the pesticide used to kill mosquito larvae. Well, they don't link to that report, do they? Linking its use to the increase in cases of microcephaly in Brazil. But researchers say that's an unlikely connection. And it goes on and on and on. Well, if there's even a question, why did a couple weeks ago did they saturate New York City in this larvicide? I'll pull that one up for you. New York City areas will be doused in Zika-preventing larvicide. Well, it's not Zika-preventing, it's mosquito-preventing. And, you know, New York does a lot of spraying for mosquitoes. Anyway, I remember that when I was a kid. You know, they'd come through. I lived upstate. I didn't live in New York City. I lived upstate a couple hours. And you know, early on, some years I don't remember it happening, but many years they would, you know, just send a mosquito spraying truck down the street. These New York cities will be sprayed in Zika-preventing larvicides this week is the headline here, and this is May 11th. And this is only 3 months after people were questioning in mainstream media, and I would think NPR is mainstream media, you know, questioning, is the larvicide causing the brain defects rather than the Zika itself? Because from the articles I've been reading, Zika goes back several decades, and this connection to supposed microcephaly was never made before, and all of a sudden it does this. So it's like, you know, it's like saying, well, chickenpox does it. Well, no, everybody knows, well, people old enough to remember having chickenpox, there's no way it affects your brain. So these New York City areas will be doused in Zika-preventing larvicides. No, it's been mosquito-preventing larvicides this week. No one in New York City has contracted Zika virus locally, but mosquito season is on its way, and the city's health officials are doing everything possible to limit the likelihood of a local outbreak this summer. Accordingly, the health department will conduct its first application of larvicides over the next 3 days, targeting breeding grounds for mosquitoes that could carry Zika virus, as well as those that could transmit West Nile virus. This will be limited to marshes and other non-residential zones in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, and will take place May 12th to May 14th, between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. each day. Well, I guess there's marshes there. I mean, there's the Hudson River and the East River right there, kind of converge on Staten Island and, you know, Brooklyn, Queens. I mean, there's a lot of water there. A lot of it's salt water, but not all of it. The Aedes aegypti mosquito, which has been spreading Zika virus left and right in Latin America and the Caribbean, isn't native to New York City. So depending on how hot it gets this summer, those mosquitoes could find our climate to be hospitable, one study suggested. Meanwhile, Aedes, which is native to New York City, I guess that's the northern climate mosquitoes, has also been known to transmit Zika virus, as researchers recently confirmed, and it has links to this stuff. As part of a three-year, $21 million plan announced last month, the city is increasing its surveillance of these Aedes mosquitoes using many of the same tactics they've used to combat West Nile virus. Well, one mosquito looks like another to me, so I wouldn't know. As of last week, 62 people in New York City have been infected with the Zika virus, but all of them acquired it while abroad. The concern is that with the onslaught of mosquito season, Aedes mosquitoes could pick up the virus from a person infected abroad and then begin transmitting it locally. A recent analysis ranked New York City's airports second only to Miami's in their risk of receiving passengers infected with Zika virus this summer. In most people, the virus is really mild. The main group at risk is people who are pregnant or hoping to become pregnant, as the virus has been linked to birth defects. Well, yeah, maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. You know, every couple of years, it seems like there's this panic over a disease, and then you start to wonder, well, is there an agenda behind it? You know, I was just horrified when Ebola was raging in Africa, and I watched a research scientist, an Ebola research virus scientist, on the Greta Van Susteren show, and she was talking about all these technical things about viruses, and she was using her hands, and she was describing the different shapes that virus could take, and she was like fitting it together in different puzzle pieces. And it just, she was talking about how she could develop a vaccine for each of the different forms that she could make that virus take. And it just went on and on and on. And it was like almost her plaything. And she was talking so fast that Greta could hardly get a word in edgewise. And then about 5 minutes in, so this woman talking about, you know, her research on the virus, which kind of meant very little to the people, you know, at home watching, other than, okay, she knows what she's talking about. She just suddenly segued into, and this will be good for the economy because there'll be all these research dollars that will funnel down into the economy. And I'm like, what? This woman is not an economics anything. Who the heck is she? You know, isn't the economy better if people don't get sick? You know, since when is somebody getting sick from the economy good for somebody else? It just, that thought had never crossed my mind. And we're talking only about 2 years ago, just maybe 2 years ago, maybe three. I'm not sure exactly when it was. answered back in my past article that here. That was kind of what motivated me to just jump into this movement, get a website, and start squawking. Because when stuff like this smells really bad, I have to speak up. I just, you know, that was like the wake-up call. There really are mad scientists in the world. And to me, a mad scientist is somebody that totally lacks compassion. They will do things to you. They will harm you for their own entertainment, for their own profit. There's a lot of people out there, oh, it's all about injecting your babies for profit. Well, yes, it is too, but I think there's also a thrill factor in wreaking such havoc on the world. It just seems like, you know, the 1940s Germany can't be the only place that these, you know, people like Dr. Mengele were born. I think every generation has them, and I think they're born all over the world, and if they're smart enough, they get themselves through college and get to work in a lab. It's side by side with the decent, honest people that really do want to save the world. So let me take this call here, and hello, you're on the air. It's not pressing. Press there.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, you're on the air. Okay.
Yes, this is Ed calling, and I had something that puzzles me about what you're reporting about the Zika virus, and that is that the Zika virus is spread by the mosquito bite, right? That's known. That's a known fact that Zika is spread by the mosquito bite. But are you saying that the microcephaly is spread by probably the insecticide? Is that the theory?
Yeah, there have been articles about that. Yep.
Here's what I'm puzzled about. Let's say a woman who's pregnant or whatever gets bit by a mosquito that has both the Zika virus and has also been exposed to the insecticide. Well, how long does it take that insecticide to work? Wouldn't the insecticide probably kill the mosquito before it bites the woman, stings the woman? I don't understand that.
Well, there's some mosquitoes that don't die. It's a larvicide, so it's supposed to kill the eggs and the larvae as they hatch, but it gets into the water supply, and she drinks the larvicide separate from the mosquito, so she might never get bitten by a Zika mosquito. And as some of those that CDC article reported and that John Rappaport article reported, only a small fraction of the babies being born in Brazil with microcephaly actually have ever been exposed to Zika. So the vast majority
amazing.
Are being caused. They're being caused by something else. And
I missed that part.
And you know,
wow.
Yeah, I looked up his website. We saw them on the Richie Allen show talking about SARS and Zika and stuff like that. So I read a bit into his blog, and I've got a link there from that scientist over to his article.
Wow.
So let me see if I can find something else besides. It's more investigative than the NPR.
Sure. Now, I had a second reason to call in. There was another point I wanted to bring up. It's something very sad that happened. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but I'm a professional astrologer as well as a writer. And I have a blog myself and everything. But anyway, I have clients going back years and years. And I recently got a phone call from a woman that I hadn't heard from in about 3 years, 4 years. And I always wondered what happened to her. So she called me up, and she is now living in Central America. And I won't mention either her name or the actual country she lives in or anything else about her, because I want to keep her totally private. I want to give her total privacy, of course. But what happened is she said, would you look at my chart and see what the heck is going on? And I looked at her chart, and what stood out was that she had two difficult planets, Mars and Saturn, cruising through her house of children, and they were going over her natal Uranus, I believe, or her Pluto. And I took one look at that. I said, oh, my God, there's something really unusual or unexpected, or I would have to use the word dangerous, going on in your family, something having to do with your children. And it's very rare that I would ever say that, but the thing just was sticking right out at me, and I could not avoid telling her the truth, you know, about it. Well, I always try to tell the truth, but I might tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So she says,
that makes sense. But the baby didn't even have a birthday yet, right? Continue. I'm sorry. Continue.
I was just going to say that then she said, well, it's because two things happened. I'm pregnant, and it's not a pregnancy by my husband, which kind of shocked me, but you know, people get into jams sometimes. And she says, the other thing is, I just got a diagnosis that I have Zika, that the Zika virus. And so the astrology was backed up by this terrible, unexpected pregnancy and then the Zika virus. And she said, you know, I'm going to have to do something about this pregnancy. I said, oh, no. And she said, oh, yes, because I can't be having this other man's baby and also risk it having the encephaly and all that, you know. So that was basically the reading that I did for her. And I was very sad. There was absolutely nothing that I could really think of doing, because she already had her mindset on what she had to do, which was she returned to the United States, and that's what she had to do, is to terminate the pregnancy. And she could not do it in a Central American country because that was illegal down there. In other words, an abortion was illegal.
Yeah, what the government down there is telling women, just don't get pregnant for the next 3 years, is what the government, that's actual what the Brazilian government is telling women of childbearing age down there. Don't get pregnant for the next 3 years.
Well, Suzanne, are they trying to cut down on the population? This is terrible. I mean, whole generation is going to disappear.
That's the thing. You'll have schools where, you know, three blocks of classrooms will be empty for the next, you know, 18 years. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Yeah. You know, it's just not the way life works. So, I'm very suspicious of governments and uber governments and World Health Organization, because we already know, you know, was it a year and a half ago or so, 2 years, that they were caught red-handed putting sterilizing agents and miscarriage-inducing agents in the tetanus vaccine that they were distributing in Kenya. And they were caught red-handed. There were a group of Catholic doctors who were very suspicious that the vaccine schedule was very, very heavy, several boosters for women of childbearing age, but not for anybody else, not for kids, not for, you know, men, just not for older women, older people, just for women of childbearing age. They had to have a tetanus and a bunch of boosters all within 2 years. And they just smelled a rat, because this kind of stuff has happened in other countries. You know, there was the Philippines, I think it was back in the 80s, and Mexico, you know, a little bit after that, and where they were caught doing self-sterilizations on these women by injections. And so they're not just immune to tetanus, they're immune to their own pregnancies, and so, you know, causing a miscarriage. they put out a press release. What they did is they took some of these vials and they tested them for the hormone that would do that, that would make women immune to their own pregnancies. And they indeed found it. And so they have a standing caution out there for women of childbearing age to avoid the tetanus vaccine, you know, until they're not marrying children anymore. And
just in case they get that one,
Well, you know, there is an agenda out there to reduce the world population, and it's called eugenics. And, you know, it's that movement is so filthy, and it started in the U.S. in the late 1800s. You know, Margaret Sanger was targeting specific ethnic groups when she started Planned Parenthood, and that's where she set, you know, that's where that organization still sets up most of their shops in the neighborhoods of that ethnic origin. And it's just a horrible thing. And you know, that it was a growing movement in the early 1900s, and Adolf Hitler took some of his inspiration from it, and he took it way, way over the top, you know, for starting with the ill and infirm and what he called useless eaters, and finally just the mentally ill people, you know, that they hit well, I guess we call them mentally challenged now, but the retarded and the mentally ill people.
Yeah. Suzanne, does this have an equivalency, a kind of almost numerical equivalency to what they were trying to do in China? I like to call it Red China, mainland China, in the one-child policy. In other words, you know, cutting back. I think a one-child policy over the course of a couple of generations is going to bring the population down by nearly 50%, you know. So is that what
And, you know, there was a big story a few months ago. Oh, they've lifted their one-child policy. Well, no, they haven't. Yeah. They've changed it to a two-child policy. But you're still, they're forcing abortions on their women who have extra or unlicensed pregnancies. You're supposed to get a license in China before you get pregnant. And, you know, just horrible stories. And, you know, that's China. So, you know, they're doing that. You know, their own government is doing it to them intentionally. Everybody knows their government is doing it to them. The World Health Organization works by stealth. And this whole thing was, it could be like the incidents with SARS, where they had something that was relatively harmless. It had the symptoms of regular flu, and flu can be dangerous for people who are very old, but the vaccine is actually more dangerous. So, you know, it's all written in the package insert. But, you know, they just pull something out of the air and say, okay, you have this terrible thing, and we're gonna destroy your trade, we're gonna destroy your tourism industry, because we're gonna issue travel alerts on your city if you don't you know, pay us money or force these vaccines on your. And that's probably maybe what happened, is they started and shaking them down with around that same time they started issuing the DTaP vaccine to pregnant women in Brazil. And we know that causes miscarriages in a lot of them. And, oh, God help us, there was a woman on Facebook about a week ago. Her daughter was 30 weeks along, and they twisted her arm into the DTaP vaccine. And, she was posting on Facebook, her daughter was laboring to deliver a dead baby. It was 30 weeks, stillborn. And she had a bad feeling that it was the vaccine, and, you know, of course, everybody's arguing with her, and it's like, you know, so a bunch of us threw some statistics at her, but there's not much you can do once the baby's dead. And you know, they know there's a certain percentage of people that will react this way. Some people come through vaccines totally fine, nothing wrong with them, but other people react horribly. Some people die, and it's just... just really terrible. Anyway, there's an article here on Yahoo, which is mainstream. Oh, it's in the beauty section. I don't understand that. Maybe I just don't know how to read there. No. Yeah, larvicide to blame for microcephaly cases. Group claims, is it true? And they have a picture of a baby, and a doctor examining the baby, and the baby's crying, but she's got a very tiny head. But she's crying. She's alert. I don't know. Anyway, it says a group of physicians in Argentina are challenging the notion that a dramatic increase in newborn brain damage in Brazil is linked to the Zika virus. Instead, they claim it's due to a larvicide added to Brazil's water supply. And this is dated in February, also like the NPR article. The group, physicians in the crop-sprayed towns, PCST, says a chemical larvicide called pyroproxifen, was added to Brazil's water supply in 2014 in order to stop the development of mosquito larvae in drinking water tanks. The organization alleges that pyroxifen, not Zika virus, is to blame for the rise in cases of infants born in Brazil with unusually small heads, a condition known as microcephaly. Nearly 4,000 babies in Brazil have been born with microcephaly since October of, 2015. Because this was written in February 2016, October 20. By contrast, Brazil reported.
Yeah.
Huh? By contrast, Brazil reported.
Go on. I'm sorry. Go on.
Fewer than 150 cases in 2014. So, so it increased well over 10 times, more like 40 times in that 1 year. Scientists freely admit that they're still learning about Zika virus and its side effects. Could this be true? Board-certified infectious disease specialist Amish A. Adalja, MD, an assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, tells Yahoo Health that he's doubtful. I don't think this is the cause for microcephaly because the levels consumed in the drinking water are much lower, 300 times, than the World Health Organization limits. Well, who cares what they limit? If you were to drop a vaccine on the floor, with all the it'd spill the mercury out of it, you'd have to, take special precautions to clean it up, but you can inject it right into your baby. That's fine. So treat it like a hazmat. So I don't know. It's just overwhelming. The, the confusion out there, I don't think rushing to a Zika vaccine for anybody is the way to go.
Well, Suzanne, then how about this?
Yes.
Find out who made this larvicide, what company is making it, or what companies are making it, and how many different larvicides are there? Are there? Can they just not switch now to different larvicides that might not have this toxic effect? I mean, this microencephalic effect?
Gee, that would be a great test, wouldn't
it?
That would be a great test, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
like, for example, this has shown up in areas as far away as Tahiti and Tonga and stuff, maybe it hasn't done in Africa yet.
Well, Zika's
sure.
showing up
Caribbean.
There, but I would have to find a microcephaly map to find out if microcephaly is showing up there.
Is it possible that, and Brazil and other South American countries down to, I guess, Chile and Argentina are the only two that don't have it, you know? Maybe Bolivia because it's very high and doesn't have mosquitoes. I don't know. But are they all using the same larvicide? Who mandated all these countries to use the same larvicide? Maybe they're using different larvicides, and maybe the chemical composition is so different that maybe it's not the larvicide. I don't know.
Well, it's all in marketing, I guess. Here's an article on EchoWatch. Latin American doctors suggest Monsanto-linked larvicide cause of microcephaly, not Zika virus. So Monsanto is the manufacturer of the larvicides in question here. You know, Monsanto.
Weren't you talking about Monsanto a few weeks ago on here? That they have against Monsanto?
Yeah, that was GMO.
Was there a march against Monsanto?
Yeah, that was, a few weeks ago in Tempe. But I guess it was all across the country. And that's, the GMO foods are, they're doing a lot of engineering with those. And that's a large part is to make the plant withstand the herbicides against the weeds and the pesticides against the bugs. And so they can spray all this pesticide and herbicide on the plants. The plants will survive, and they'll harvest them and feed them to you. And so you're eating the pesticides. And so I think they're actually the bigger danger than the GMO food itself. But, they're also trying some really wacko GMO that's not related to herbicides and pesticides, but they are trying to come up with a vaccine-based a banana that will distribute a vaccine to you. But, of course, in a banana, they can't get all those other wonderful toxins into you, the mercuries and aluminums and all the other, if you're taking sport in killing babies, eating a banana isn't going to help you. So I don't think we're going to see the vaccine-based banana get off the ground, and the other food category.
Monsanto bananas, let me tell you. If the Monsanto, if the banana has a label on, I mean, Chiquita is okay, but if it has a label Monsanto, I'm not eating it.
You never know.
I'm going to throw it out.
I don't know. Yeah. Isn't it funny? They're kind of telling us that the Cavendish banana is on its way out. It's going to die, and they're going to replace it with some other type of banana. I guess there was a breed of banana in the 50s that went the way of the potato blight or something, and so now we're eating a different type of banana. And, there's all kinds of bananas out there. But
I read about that. And the banana... The banana that was frequent up through, I think, the early 1950s was, it tasted more like, have you ever had like banana pudding or banana extract? I mean, not extract, banana flavoring. It had more of that flavoring. It didn't have the kind of pulpy, kind of average taste that bananas have today. So those bananas up till about 1950 were very tasty and spread the desire for bananas. And these were not really accepted. The new bananas that came out since then people were not really thrilled to have these Cavendish bananas. That's what I got from my reading anyway.
I wonder what that breed was. Because, there are people claiming that part of the issue is not even the breed of the plant, but the type of dirt that it's grown in. If it's a mineral-depleted dirt, it's not going to taste as good as a dirt that's had its minerals replenished. So there's gardeners out there that really swear by azomite and different mineral supplements they put in the soil that they grow in. They swear that their things taste better. Now, there's not too many places in the States where you can grow bananas, except maybe Hawaii and maybe the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might luck out and grow a banana tree in a pot someday, but it's not going to take the Arizona sun, I don't think. I think it's just too harsh here.
I think some of the old Vietnam vets that were kind of survivalist types that were up in Hawaii, like on the Big Island stuff, or Maui. You know, they'd go out into the well, it's practically rainforest and jungle. That's one of the things they'd eat. They'd eat mangoes, they'd eat bananas, they'd eat papayas, you know, and they were totally self-sufficient out there, you know, eating this stuff. So it does live in the wild, definitely bananas, in places like Hawaii and I don't know about Arizona or Florida. I don't know who has bananas.
No, well, you know, Florida might do somewhere it's more humid, but where it's dry, you have such wide temperature swings every day, whether it's winter or summer. It's a 40-degree swing from, you know, the coldest part of the night to the hottest part of the day.
And that's
just brutal on the plants. Yeah. So I've been trying to grow little onions and things out, and it's just the temperature swing is just brutal. I mean, yes, it gets too hot and things. I've had some things just burn up. But the things that are living, they're not looking all that great. And really,
wow,
they're just everything just always looks kind of tired and beat up. And I think it's just the wide temperature swings,
yeah,
you know, the hot night air.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, anyway, this EcoWatch has another article here. Brazilian state suspends larvicide used to combat Zika. This is also dated February. Monsanto slams rumors regarding virus. Well, Monsanto has vested interest in keeping this larvicide going. Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil's southernmost state, has suspended the use of pyraproxifen, a pesticide that stops the development of mosquito larvae in drinking tanks to combat the spread of Zika virus, according to the report from Fox News Latino. The state government's move came after separate reports from Argentine group physicians in the Crop Sprayed Towns, PCST, that stands for Crop Sprayed Towns, a Brazilian Collective Health Association, Abrasco, suggested that the larvicide, not Zika virus, was responsible for the alarming spike in microcephaly. Oh, this little baby, she's so beautiful with such a tiny head. Anyway, in its report, PCST claims that in 2014, the Brazilian Ministry of Health introduced pyraproxifen. Why is that so hard? Drinking water reservoirs in the state of Pernambuco, where the proliferation of the Zika-carrying Aedes mosquito is very high. As it happens, the northeastern state holds roughly 35% of the total microcephaly cases across the country. And so, you know, they are considering this kind of thing. It's just we don't really know. And I think, you know, there are articles out there, you know, there's two vaccines in development for Zika, and they're just, you know, they're shipping these people in by the thousands. I read some of that on Alex Jones' InfoWars. You know, that a lot of these migrants coming up from South America are bringing Zika with them. And if they get into our mosquito population here.
But you know, if all they're treating is the Zika virus, they might not be getting any benefit because, after all, if the microencephaly, the worst symptoms are coming from the larvicide provided by the chemical company, you know, what good is it going to even do to
you have scientists duking it out.
Crazy.
You have scientists duking it out. So I guess they've stopped spraying the larvicide now, and now we have all the fallout from the Olympics. We have athletes bailing out of going to the Olympics. There's not that many yet, because I don't think any of them expect to become pregnant down there. But and I know Savannah Guthrie from, I forget what network she's on, but she's pregnant, and so she's not going to go cover the Olympics. I guess she had been scheduled to, but she's pregnant. She's bowed out of it. So,
you know, I don't want to say anything in favor of China. I don't want to say anything in favor of China or India. I know a lot of parents in India and China. Well, India, there's no law against having kids, but a lot of them favor the male babies, and you know they put to death, you know, females, a lot of females that are born. It's cultural, it's a terrible thing. But at least China and India, which I think are the main culprits, at least those parents get to decide, you know, if they want to keep the boys, they keep the boys or something. But Zika
they
and
don't
this
always,
insecticide
you know, if you,
are,
if you
but I'm
are
just
so
thinking,
mean and
this yeah.
have twins. I mean, I've read some really horrible articles in China.
Yeah.
If you're so
but
bold
I'm
as to have twins, they have to grab one.
I know, but
them.
I'm not trying to defend them. I'm not trying to defend them. I'm just saying that they have at least the chance of keeping one child, whereas the Zika virus, it kills males and females indiscriminately. It'll kill baby boys and baby girls, you know? whatever the woman has in her womb. So, I mean, if and there's
aren't
there
equal
some
opportunity
new, you
I don't think that has any sound to it. Oh,
it's
yeah,
terrible.
It's just kind of horrible. So, what can we do about all this? You know, we can find the scientists who are closest to it and find out what's really causing it for our own selves in the U.S. You know, stay away from places with standing water. Yeah, mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a mild virus unless you get pregnant.
Yeah, I just think pay lots more attention to what these scientists
are doing. I under no circumstances would I take a vaccine if I were pregnant. And I've, you know, now that we know so much about the fraud in the vaccine industry with the the CDC whistleblower and all the other incidents and the Vax movie making the rounds around the country, there's just not enough basis to justify me ever taking another vaccine for any reason. But back when I was, you know, having my kids, nobody ever suggested to me that I take a vaccine, at least that I remember, or maybe I blew them off if they did.
Well, if there are people out there that have taken it upon themselves to intentionally inflict death, you know, on children, babies,
that's
and
what I was saying before, about
and sterilizing the mothers, like you said in Kenya or Uganda or wherever that was in Central Africa, you know, then who's to say that they would not be able to have some kind of a magic bullet, you know? Let's give these kids 17 or 22 vaccinations or something, because we're pretty sure that by the time they're 30 years old, they're going to be dead or crippled, you know, 20 years old or whatever.
Yeah,
and just apply
that
to a huge amount of the population. Couldn't they apply something like that to a huge percentage of the population? And they might have actually this thought in the back of their mind, hey, if we give them all this mercury and all this other stuff, you know, and, you know, this is probably going to cripple them or kill them at some point. Well, that wouldn't that be just perfect for somebody who wants to limit the world population, like you were saying?
Yeah.
Now,
and
I don't know anything about it. I've never
Have you ever looked at online, if you just Google the Georgia Guidestones, these elitists have carved in stone in like 8 languages their intentions for the world. And the first on their list is to limit the number of people in the world to less than 1 billion people. That means you have to kill, what is it, 6/7, actually they're talking about half a billion, 500 million people is the max that they want of human beings in the world. These are people who hate people. They just want most of them dead. And that's 500 million. We have 7 billion now.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? That's the 1/14 left of the world population that they, you know, and they've carved it in stone. You can just Google it up and look and see what their intentions are. But, you know, it's all anonymous. You don't know who put that up, and it's all a big mystery. Who put up that monument? And,
you mean they didn't have a... Suzanne, do you mean they didn't have to get a builder's permit from some?
I think it's on private property. It's actually on private property. It's in the
Mountain
Roadside. Find
out whose private property that was. When were they built? Like 40 years ago? 20 years ago?
In the 80s.
Oh, well, then find who owned that property in the 80s, because whoever owned that property, you know, must have known something about it. Or maybe their relatives.
There's a whole Wikipedia article here. And
but, you know,
the Georgia Guidestones
sort of
is a granite monument erected in 1980 in Elbert County, Georgia, in the United States. You know, they have the inscriptions in English and several other languages, Chinese, Arabic, what else? But, you know, the monument stands at the highest point in Elbert County, 90 miles east of Atlanta, 45 miles from Athens. In the structure, sometimes referred to as the American Stonehenge, the monument is 19 feet 3 inches tall. History. In June 7, 1979, an unidentified person or persons under the pseudonym R.C. Christian hired Elberton Granite Finishing Company to build the structure. The land was apparently purchased by Elbert County in October 1979, although the Georgia Mountain Travel Association's history says the monument is located on the farm of Mildred and Wayne Mulinex. Purchased by the county, the monument was unveiled on March 22nd, 1980, before an audience variously described as 100 or 400 people. In 2008, the stones were defaced with polyurethane paint and graffiti with slogans such as "Death to the New World Order." Wired magazine called the defacement the first serious act of vandalism in the Guidestones' history. In September 2014, an employee of the Elko County Maintenance Department contacted the FBI when the stones were vandalized with graffiti, including the phrase, "I am ISIS, goddess of love." This is ISIS in small letters, you know, capital I-S. You know, what's some Egyptian goddess or something? I don't know. Yeah, it's certainly
ISIS, ISIS was the wife of Osiris. They were the male and female gods of ancient Egypt. You know, of course, Egypt had lots of gods through many dynasties. And Isis also been called Ishtar. Later, the idea was became that of Venus also, was somehow almost the same kind of goddess energy of Venus, you know, the goddess of love, supposedly. And I think Isis, what didn't she put her dead husband back together again or something like that? You know,
I don't know anything about her.
Many legends.
Many
legends.
The Roman legends were about all I could stomach in high school. I just
ISIS has nothing to do. That ISIS has nothing to do with the Islamic Republic. Nothing whatsoever.
Right, the Islamic Republic. That's an acronym, and it's an anglicized acronym. And you know, Islamic State. Something Syria, whereas Obama calls it ISIL.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Obama calls it ISIL because in the translation, calling it ISIL instead of ISIS, he's ceding Israel to ISIS, and so that's what he's doing there.
The Levant, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That comes from his Muslim family and school in Jakarta, Indonesia. But these Georgia Guidestones, they're right here. Yeah, and I'm reading the inscriptions. They have them here translated. Maintain humanity under 500 million. And, you know, it's the first thing on the first guide on the Guidestone. They want to chop the population down to 500 million from 7 billion. That's just a guide reproduction wisely. That means forced abortions, forced injections of forced birth control on people, sterilizations. Mm-hmm. It's just unite humanity with a living language. What does that mean? Wipe out all culture. You're all going to have one language. We decide. Mm-hmm. Rule passion, faith, tradition. Get rid of your churches. Get rid of your traditions is what it says here. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. That means get rid of nations is what it means. How do you have...
Get rid of the borders.
It's just... and one world court. Yep, that's what it talks about.
Mm-hmm.
It's balance personal rights with social duties. So now that's when, you know, the right to die becomes a duty to die. You know, in the places that have legalized assisted suicide. You know, it's all a slippery slope. They're hoping we'll slide down there and not notice. You know, and it's all the big one world government, and they're going to be benevolently destructive and tyrannical on you. And if you think it's awful and evil, then there's something wrong with you. Yes?
Suzanne, I have a very gentle aside to throw in. I was just thinking, I deal in used and rare books, and I've seen some very lovely books by the Sierra Club. You know, one of them is about, like, Yosemite, let's say, or it's about the Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
And they have these beautiful, pristine, you know, wilderness-type photos and these beautiful rock faces and Yosemite Falls and Burn Oak Falls and Nevada Falls and all of that. And, you know, what stands out, there's no people. There's no people in these books. They're talking about the wonders of the wilderness. They don't show anybody having a picnic. They don't show anybody even walking on a trail or climbing up the face of a mountain or whatever. They're talking about nature devoid of humanity and how wonderful it is. And I get the feeling, you know, that there is this undercurrent, a very strong undercurrent that probably is coming to the fore a lot in our universities and colleges, you know. is, and I got some of this when I was in school, and this is going back to the late 60s, early 70s, and that is that, you know, at the rate of population increase in the world, we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of space, there's going to be wars, we're not going to have enough water, and we're going to have to cut back the population. That was drummed into
terrible?
Me, I think, in the
70s. You know, I remember
that was drummed into me from the age of about 18 or 19. I remember I had a biology professor who got into that subject, and I went away shaking my head. And I, you know, I'm a creative writer, and I wrote a story that was called, I called it Fungus Humana, in which the population of the earth is like a blue-green fungus that eats away an orange. You know how an orange is getting eaten away by the fungus that's on it? And I was influenced strongly by what I was picking up in school at that time. It was a kind of an anti-humanistic, anti-religious, anti human being kind of philosophy it was loving nature run amok. Do you know what I mean? Loving nature running amok to the point where, what do we need all these people for?
Isn't that terrible? You know, it's like, that's what I said. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, mankind isn't the disease on the earth. Mankind is the flower of the earth. You know, and you don't want to cut back on the flower. You know, you shouldn't leave your litter and your garbage. You know, keep the earth clean, but that doesn't mean devoid of people. You know,
Suzanne, people that love nature and love animal life and everything. Suzanne, human beings are the highest, or the epitome of everything in the natural world, because we're the most developed, and we have the ability to look out on the universe and actually understand a lot of things about the cosmos, the universe, and the atom, and of nature, and we're able to build a civilization. But there are forces out there that say, human beings are crap. Human beings really are nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all going to wipe ourselves out with wars or famines. So why don't we kill off as many of them as we can? I believe that's probably the goal of some people out there.
It's quite evil,
Very selfish people, very selfish, wrong-headed people to eliminate
a great
portion of the population.
You know, the first few people that I ran into that were, you know, trying to hand me that line, the world's overpopulated, whatever. And I never understood. I was like, if you think the world's overpopulated, then you go kill yourself. You don't go out there selling abortions to people. You know, if you think the world's overpopulated, you'll be the first to step off. You know, they never liked that very much.
No, but some of them do. Remember when that comet or something was streaking by the Earth, and what was it, 40 people? Was it 30 or 40 people or something in San Diego that took their lives because they had the idea their leader, their guru, had told them that they were going to go up and be with the comet or something like that. You know, their souls were going to be.
They thought some kind of a spaceship passing by.
Yes, they were smoking too much weed, I think. You know, they were definitely.
No, I don't think it was weed. I don't think weed drives people to commit suicide. I don't know what they were on, but I don't think that was it.
It's a powerful, charismatic leader that can make him do like Jim Jones in Guyana, in Jonestown, who basically had all these people eating out of his hand. And at one point he said, they killed the congressman, right? The congressman had come down, they'd flown down there to look around, and they killed him. And after he realized, we got to have to all kill it. We all have to die. And basically passed out the Kool-Aid. That's where the phrase, he drank the Kool-Aid. Came from, you know, and I think it was something like 900 people, you know, men, women, and children. So it's a charismatic leader. It's somebody who can convince people to die for him. That's very dangerous, very, very dangerous. Oh, my.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should say something cheerful before I take another break here.
cheerful.
What do we say?
You got a good joke?
Well, Brexit is happy news. Brexit is happy news. Those people are pushing back at the New World Order. They're not going to take it anymore. You know, they've been intentionally impoverished, and they figured out that it was intentional. And, you know, that the Dutch and everybody else had more rights to fish in their own waters than they had themselves, you know, around their own country. And you know, just goes on.
I don't know. Did you talk about Brexit last week or the week before? Did you talk
about it? No, it hadn't passed yet. It's been less than a week.
The crazy thing is that, from what I remember, if I remember correctly, all these little towns around England, you know, have fishermen, right? Tons and tons of, I mean, thousands of, tens of thousands of fishermen. So the EU slapped some kind of regulations on there that they were going to take all these fishing waters around Great Britain and divide it up among the different countries of the EU. So Sweden would have some of English fishing and Denmark and Germany and whatever. And they put up, they basically put out of business 90%, more than 90% of the English fishermen. They even bought their boats in some cases. They bought their boats to put, to force them not to fish anymore. And those counties, those boroughs or counties that were right on the water there, especially like around, you know, York and the eastern coast of England, up to Scotland anyway, those were very, very heavy in the blue column, very, very heavy on the leave, you know, leaving the EU because of losing their livelihood, because of, you know, rules that were made in Brussels. They were made in Brussels by bureaucrats, you know.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's like 5 out of 6 laws were made in Brussels and not made in the UK. You know, how do you live like that? You know, that is a takeover.
Oh,
and since Brexit was passed, the EU has announced it's going to form an EU army, that none of its member states will be allowed to have their own army. It's going to be an EU army, and they're going to they don't need an external army because there's already NATO protecting them. So this is going to be internal armies to goose step in their streets. And
is it going to be headed by the Germans? Is it going to be headed? No, I can't do a German accent. Is it going to be headed by the Deutsch?
Yeah, that's one of the headlines on one of the Brexit news things I watched recently, is that they're actually achieving what Hitler only dreamed, which was a united Europe under German rule. And that's Angela Merkel. And I don't know where it would go from there. I mean, when you have total control like that, you know, all you can do is oppress people for sport. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I have friends over there, and this really crushes me. And I was, you know, they used to live here, and I hope they move back here. But they're, you know, they're German citizens, and they love their country. I don't know if they can save it.
I'm so upset. I'm so worried that these Northern European countries with a civilization, with culture, you know, are just going to be overrun by hordes. Endless hordes of people coming from a totally different civilization, totally different language, and a totally different religion. And how can they assimilate all that? They're not. It's going to be a madhouse, just a complete madhouse. And you know, lots of terrible things are going on. Some people are being saved. Some people are receiving some humanitarian aid by getting out of Syria and places like that. But at what price? At what price to the country?
Of those migrants I've seen interviewed coming in from Syria and Libya and wherever down there, they don't come off as we're fleeing this horrible situation back home. They come off as we're here colonizing you, and it's just too bad for you. You're going to be Muslim, and you're going to wear the headscarf, and we're going to take whatever women we want. And, you know, it's just... it came off as really, really arrogant. Now, maybe there was something missing in the translation. I don't know. But they don't come off as grateful at all. But of course, they're not allowed to take jobs in Germany or these countries they come into. They're just kept in refugee camps or apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to hold jobs. They're just kept and fed, you know, and they get an allowance from the government. And it's like, well, that's a pretty degrading life, too. So
this
I can see that only
if Native,
didn't work.
That reminds me of Native Americans placed on Indian reservations where they can't really work and they can't be Indians anymore. They can't you know, chase buffalo around on horseback, you know, or whatever. They can't have their native ways.
Right.
And now they're just going to be creatures of the state, you know, and just live in public housing or something. They're going to be miserable. There's probably going to be crime and poverty and illness and, you know, all the things that maybe that happened to the native people of this country when they were put on reservations, you know, going to happen to them. That's terrible.
Now, I haven't read too much about diseases coming into Europe, although I'm sure they are, but they are there are articles about all this unchecked migration coming into the U.S. are bringing in a lot of diseases with them, including tuberculosis. And some other horrible things. Now, there are some recent articles that tuberculosis is a lot easier to cure than they used to think. It's actually a vitamin deficiency that weakens your immune system. So if you stack up on vitamin C, then you're much less likely to come down with, much less succumb to tuberculosis. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of good research out there that's new. So it shouldn't be the horrible problem it's been in the past. But, you know, other countries do vaccinate for tuberculosis, but we don't. We had it. We had it beat. And I'm sure a lot of that had to do with our higher level of nutrition. You know, you can buy oranges all year round here. Mm-hmm. They're seasonal in Florida and California, and when it's winter here, we're shipping them up from Argentina. We just trade off seasons with them, you know.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness that they found that there's ways to get around tuberculosis, but I mean, it killed so many people. I remember when I lived in California.
Medicine. Nutrition is alternative medicine. You're not going to hear that from your mainstream doctor.
I remember when I lived in California, there would be news broadcasts that say several people were found with tuberculosis, and it was a total freak out that there was any tuberculosis at all in the community, because it's evidently contagious, you know? It's contagious.
Yeah.
So it's a killer. But I'm glad that there are ways.
Well, it's a killer if you're nutritionally deficient, but nutritional deficiency is a killer.
When people were dying of tuberculosis in the 40s, 30s, 20s, whatever, I guess people were just not eating oranges or lemons. You know, they just didn't have the C vitamins.
Well, there was a depression.
That might have been it.
I think, was it St. Teresa of Lisieux or something? It's one of the, like in the 19-teens or 20s. She died of a horrible tuberculosis death, but they didn't know in those days. I believe that was in France. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you don't know what's causing it or why you can't get over it, vitamin C is a really good thing against a lot of diseases. Mm-hmm. You know, it just keeps your immune system robust so you can withstand this stuff. So, I don't know. So, you know, of course, the Britons want to control their borders, and that's, you know, just the same story as popularity of Trump here. You know, people want to control their borders. They don't like being artificially impoverished, you know, and Nigel Farage had that speech today in the European Parliament where he accused them of intentionally impoverishing the Mediterranean countries like Greece and Albania and whatever. It's kind of true. The cat's out of the bag. You know, these trade deals for the purpose of exporting our jobs so that they can hire people at slave wages in foreign countries, you know, so that the 1% at the top can profit. You know, it's all real. People's eyes are open, and this crosses party lines. You know, and on both sides of the ocean, it crosses party lines. You had the Labour and the Conservatives in Britain, and you had people on both sides of the aisle, you know, voting for Brexit there. They're just not going to put up with it. And you have people on both sides of the aisle here voting for, you know, whether you like his style or not, that's his message, that he's going to fix the trade deals and stop exporting jobs overseas to slaves overseas. Now, those countries are going to have to come up with their own products to produce and sell, you know, or they just have to stop stealing from us and we'll come up with new ones. I don't know. But it'll be an interesting world a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been such an interesting world since Trump started making his speeches. Nobody was saying what he was saying at the time. You know, when he first announced a year ago that he was running, and he was talking about these horrible trade deals that were suppressing wages and exporting jobs. And it's like, I never knew why. I just thought it was the way of the world now that we have world communication. I didn't connect it to NAFTA and that we were obligated to export our jobs. And I never made the connection, and the way he explained it, ordinary people, you know, it's like I wasn't ever stupid, it's just that was not my specialty. Well, that's his specialty. Mm-hmm. That's how he got to be where he is, you know. You know, being a billionaire, he understands money and how it flows. And you know, the Brits caught onto that too on their own. They had Nigel Farage banging the drum for 20-something years. And they finally put it together. Oh, well, maybe we don't have to export our fishing jobs and this industry and that industry. Maybe we don't have to suppress coal the way it's being suppressed because now we have, you know, clean filtration and things like that. And we don't have to do
What a lot of people in the United States don't understand is all the incredibly complex regulations that were imposed by Brussels bureaucrats on all the people in these countries, not just Britain, but the other countries. For example, there's like 100 different rules about the size of the bottles that they can use for their salad dressing and their butter dishes and all kinds of stuff in restaurants. You cannot run a restaurant in Great Britain without bowing and scraping to the rules of these bureaucrats in Brussels, you know? I mean, it's just bizarre. Yeah. Wasn't there something like a couple of hundred different rules about pillows and towels and napkins and, you know, everything you look at? Was it something like 60,000 rules?
Wasn't that documentary on YouTube called All About Brexit or something? Or All About something like that. All About Brexit, I think, was talking about, you know, all these different rules for what kind of features you can have on your coffee maker. Oh, and the day after, and they didn't. This was leaked out, but. The EU was just about to ban the electric kettle and the toaster. Brits love their tea. They like electric kettles and they like their toast. And they were going to ban this, and they weren't letting it out. So they weren't going to tell them they were going to ban it until after the vote. You know, they were assuming that, the Leave side is going to, the Stay side, the Remain will prevail, the EU will prevail, and then we'll dump this oppressive garbage on them. And it's like, they just got out in the nick of time, you know, that the kettle, the steel, and it's in the name of efficiency, but these electric kettles use far less electricity to boil water, far less energy to boil water than putting a pan on a stovetop where you're using heat to actually boil the water, you know, but they were going to, so what was the purpose in banning electric kettles? It was just to piss on the Brits. You know, or just it was just to be oppressive, just to put your thumb on them for sport. There's no other reason for it.
For sport,
because in the name of conservation or energy conservation, to actually mandate that they boil their water by a more energy using method, there can't be any other explanation. I'm a little bit cynical. Anyway, I need to take a break here, and so I'll be back in. Just a moment here. Where did it go? I need to find the right button. That's not it. And, okay. Stop playing. There it goes.
Ay, ay, ay. Le chupacabra. Okay.
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra!
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool!
Here, you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow!
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours. You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red.
I want to be blue.
Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed. But don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon. Are you one of the tens of people who are tired of seeing chemtrails? Fed up with the government geoengineering you every other day? Take a dose of
La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover Daily, and you'll never worry about weather modification again. With great ingredients and quality vitamins from Mexico and China, like fluoride, barium, high fructose corn syrup, and colloidal mercury, your brain will be a virtual etch-a-sketch lickety-split. La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover. Wow, I don't even remember the tagline for this, so it must be great.
Okay, enough of that silly stuff. If you would prefer ads over, we do have some paid sponsors, but obviously with all these spoofs on here, it would be wonderful to bring in more sponsors. If you have a business you'd like to promote on Freedomizer Radio, go to the freedomizerradio.com website and contact the admins, and they will lead you over to how to get your own promos in here for real real businesses and not some of these spoofs. So that, you know, yes, the Serenity Rug is indeed a real product, and it is a wonderful thing, and it's just like running your feet through your toes through the grass, and it's a wonderful relaxing thing while you're working at your desk. And so that certainly the Serenity Rug, you want to visit that website and check out their product. All the rest of this that I've come across today, well, some of it's pretty silly. Anyway, so yeah, we were talking about Brexit, and you know, it's what's really important is the freedom of speech. Certainly, I'm hearing some headlines. I think on the Drudge Report and a few other places there are, and in fact, it was Loretta Lynch. I think there are people making noises out there. They want to start prosecuting people who cast doubt on man-made global warming. I am not a believer in man-made global warming. The Earth is just way too big. And, you know, I don't think we have that kind of power. So I know that a lot of weather is tied to solar cycles, which I didn't used to believe that. But back when I worked at the Solar Observatory in Tucson, you know, my boss said, well, we've not connected it to weather so far. But other people have gone back over historical records. And, you know, there was a 70-year period in the 1700s where there was no sunspots at all. There was just the sun took a break from having cycles of ups and downs and ups and downs, and it was very cold for those 70 years, and the wheat crops were failing in Europe, and you know they had just discovered the potato in the New World and brought it back over to the Old World, and you know, Ireland, Poland, England, a lot of countries over there made the conversion to eating the potato that was more resistant to the cold. But the wheat crops weren't resistant to the cold, and so you had repeated crop failure in France. But the French wanted their baguettes, and which of course the crops kept failing, and so they ended up eventually going a little nutty, having their Revolutionary War, and which a lot of bloodletting, you know, just a lot of which I think was kind of insane. I mean, they had people beheading people there in the streets of France again. It's like we just can't seem to get away from it, and. Anyway, so yes, the climate does cycle. It does it naturally. I really don't believe it's man-made, although I think they're definitely trying with so many chemtrails. There was an episode last fall where they stopped chemtrailing for a while in several cities in the U.S., and people were calling into the Pete Santilli show and reporting their city had stopped chemtrailing because it was gone from the skies. And Phoenix was really bad, and then it just suddenly stopped. San Diego was really bad, and then suddenly stopped, and I thought, what is going on here? I bet you it starts raining in California. And sure enough, it did. It did for, you know, like a month or so later, they stopped the chemtrailing and it started raining. So that's correlation. I can't prove it's causation, but that's just how life goes. So are you still there, Ed? You have thoughts on this?
Oh, yes, I'm still eagerly listening. And I was wondering about that Chupacabra insurance company. It didn't sound 100% legit to me.
No, I made a mention of these. Some of these ads are spoofs, and you know, that's one way of getting through these times,
yeah.
Is to just have a laugh. But you know, certainly,
if I had a herd of goats,
radio,
I'd worry about that. You know, I wouldn't want my goats molested. You know, and I'd definitely be looking for some Chupacabra insurance. You know, it's a great idea. it's the insurance company that needs to be there to come. You know, it'll be there when they need it. You know, that's great. I think there are creatures out there. You know, I mean, I have a video on YouTube, on my YouTube site, called Strange Nocturnal Creature or something like that. And I was at a friend's house late one night, and all of a sudden we heard this.
What's your username?
The weirdest freaking noise. And then after 2 or 3 seconds, it repeated again, you know, and repeated again. And I took a film of it as much as it was. And ever since then, people have been trying to figure out, what is this weird noise? And I have had like over 1,000 comments to that. And I think I've had about 80,000 views of that video, you know. It's as though I've gone into Africa or South America. Well, they had all kinds of ideas from barn owl. You know, it was such a weird noise. I think you might have heard it. And
somebody suggested to me it was some kind of a desert frog or toad that came out when the rainy season started. But
if that was
not
a frog, it must have been 3 feet tall. It sounds like it was 3 feet tall and sitting on the roof. You know, you don't see frogs like that anymore. Maybe in the age of the dinosaurs or something. Noisy thing. I never heard anything like that. Yeah, and it really got people stimulated because everybody was jumping over each other to say what they thought it was, you know. And animals, amphibians, insects, birds, you know, creatures from outer space. They had every kind of thing. But if anybody out there just wants to Google strange nocturnal creature or something like that, then they'll probably find it. Ed August's like the month with an S on the end. And,
and they can hear it for themselves.
Huh?
And YouTube. On your YouTube.
On YouTube. Yeah, sure. But there's also Ed August. I have my own website also, but that's something else. We'll do that some other time.
That's something else. Yeah, there have been times when I've looked out the window here in Phoenix and just seen up to 9 parallel chemtrails across the sky. And, you know, that's not airliners with incidental exhaust. These were planned, absolutely parallel, equidistant apart, 9, you know, just striped across the sky. And I think I don't know if they were attempting weather modification or what they were trying to do. It just, you know, that's all secret. I hope that if Trump is elected that he will expose some of this stuff. Because, I know he's been interviewed on Alex Jones. He's at least aware of some of these quote-unquote conspiracy theories. I mean, it's not a theory if it's a real conspiracy. So I don't know if he buys any of this stuff. I know he would like Alex Jones' audience to vote for him. So I just hope some of the stuff gets exposed in time as to what it is, you know.
They just cross each other and they make X's on top of X's in the sky. And it is very strange. And then one day, a couple of months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I noticed something was different in the sky, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I realized there were no chemtrails. There was a day without any chemtrails in the sky at all. And I think I even called and told people, hey, look at the sky. There's no chemtrails.
Yeah, there's not nearly as many as there were.
I'm no fanatic about that. I don't know the first thing about it. But I just realized that there's always those lines in the sky, those trails in the sky, and for a couple of days there weren't any, not in southern Arizona.
Yeah, I have seen the multiple X's in the sky too, and those I originally believed were scientists trying to study the weather winds, because the first X I ever saw, I was in Silver Spring, Maryland, you know, right on the edge of D.C. on 9/11/2001, and so the next day there was not a plane in the sky anywhere, except I guess the stories about, you know, them flying the Saudi families out of Florida, whatever they're doing. But there were no skies. You know, we have Baltimore Airport there, you know, and we had Reagan Dulles right there. And, you know, it's very metropolitan area, so you see planes in the sky all the time. And no, the planes were grounded for a day, except for one giant X right over the Pentagon. And, you know, the Pentagon, of course, they had blown out the side of the Pentagon with that, and this one giant X, and And it just scared me to death. I happened to see it out of the window as I'm driving to work because, you know, Bush Jr. said, oh, no, well, you're not going to scare us. We're all going to go to work the next day. And we did. Of course, the schools were closed, and so I had to take my daughter to work with me, which wasn't such a bad deal. But still, we saw this X, this giant X in the sky, nothing else in the sky but this X. And I knew it had to be made by military jets because it was a perfect X, you know. And it just spooked me. And, I was working for the Weather Service, and so months later, an article came out that they had studied this. As it crossed the ocean, it blew across the ocean, and it accumulated water droplets, and it grew into this huge cloud front. By the time it reached England, it was this massive rainstorm. It rained all over England, and it all started from that one X over the Pentagon. Yeah. Now, I've hardly ever seen articles like that again. And I have seen articles where, you know, if there's a lot of dust over a city, then the moisture molecules will cling to the dust rather than to each other, and they never get heavy enough to fall. And so that's why Phoenix, even though it's more humid than Tucson, gets a lot less rain than Tucson, because there's a lot more dust in the air over here, because it's, you know, there's a lot more cars, a lot more freeways, a lot more activity, and a lot of dust in the sky. Plus, we were getting more chemtrails, and it just, you know, we don't get as much rain here as Tucson does, at least
Tucson
in general. Now, some years that might have changed.
Tucson is about 2,400 or 2,500 feet also, and Phoenix, Maricopa, Canada, the Valley of the Sun, is about, what, 1,100, 1,400, some, so it's more than 1,000 feet difference in altitude. So we get lots more rain down there.
Yeah. So we just got to all resist this global government thing, because they want to engineer us. They want to engineer the planet. And we can't have it. We can't have it. And we are running out of time here. I'm sorry to say, it always seems the time just flies by. You know, it's like, can I line up enough articles to talk about everything? You know, every week I worry, and then I can't fit in enough words in the time. And I would like to thank everybody for listening and joining us, and we will join you again next week. Thank you very much.
Good night, Suzanne.